I should mention in regards to Parshas Toledos, although it's not a topic that I intend to look into this year, but you should recognize that Parshas Toledos is the only genuine Yitzchok Sedra in the whole of Sefer Bereishis. Avraham has many Sedras, Yaakov has many Sedras, Yosef has many Sedras, but as far as Yitzchok is concerned, he is confined primarily to Parshas Toledos. Let's begin at the beginning. Vayehi Yitzchok ben Arvoim Shana, Yitzchok is 40 years of age, Pikachto es Rivko, when he took Rivko, Vas Bisuel ho Arami, mi Padan Aram, the daughter of Bisuel, Achos Lavon ho Arami, Loli Isha. Now Rashi is rather concerned with the fact that a lot of this information has already been mentioned in previous parshiyos. So Rashi, in the comment which begins, Bas Bisuel mi Padan Aram Achos Lavon, says Rashi, V'chi adayin lo nichtov shehi Bas Bisuel v'yachos lavon umi Padan Aram, are these not matters that have already been written down in Parshas Chaye Sara? Elo, the purpose of writing them here, says Rashi, is lehagid shvacha, in order for the Torah to recount her praises. Shahayasa Bas Rosha, even though she was the daughter of a Rosha, V'yachos Rosha, and the sister of a Rosha, Umekoma and Sheresha, and the place where she came from were also evil people, V'lo Londa Mimasehem, she did not learn from their ways. So according to Rashi, the reason why the Torah will bring these items of information, which we already know, to our attention, is in order to declare her praises and to let us know what a wonderful individual she was. There is a most beautiful comment of the Gur Aryeh on this particular Rashi. I don't intend to go through it all, but nevertheless, to take out at least the opening section. Hiksha Horein. So Reb Eliyahu Mizrahi, says the Gur Aryeh, already raises a question. Below Yitura, even without giving us this information a second time, Yadinon, we certainly know, Shahayasahimi Padan Aram, that she came from Padan Aram, and she was a Bas Besuel, and she was a Chayslavon, Vishahayu Kulam Rishayim, Taholavon Yadua Hayabinishasim. So therefore the question is, Vishivon Shahayasarif Got Sadekes, and since we know from a previous comment in a previous parsha that Rivko is a tzadekis, as it says, Ha'ohelosoloimo, which we mentioned last week, that Yitzchok brought her into the tent and he saw that her character was identical with that of Sarah, is Mimela Lailamdo Mimaseim. So Mimela, we reach the conclusion ourselves, without having been told these words in our parsha, that she did not learn from their actions. So what has been achieved by the repetition of these words, which according to Rashi, is in order for the Torah to relate her praises? This is a praise which we ourselves could have surmised from the information at our disposal in the previous sentence. Says the Mizrahi, V'tirei Tzorein, Devadai Belav Hachi Yod Inon Shahayasot Tzadekes V'loi Lomlo Mimaseyim. You're right. Based on the information at our disposal prior to this Pasuk, we certainly would most definitely have concluded that Rivka did not learn from their ways. However, Avolo hayinu yodeim shehakosuv misafer bishvacha. But we would not know that the Torah regards it worthy of mention in order to praise her. There is a difference between when you deduce on the basis of information that she is a tzedekista, and when the Torah itself goes out of its way to say she was a tzedekista. There's a world of difference. Ulefikoch kosa vas besuel. That is what the Torah means, according to Rashi. Shahakosov misafer bishvacha. For the Torah to actually praise her is a different order than when we, as a result of our own deduction, arrive at the conclusion that she is worthy of praise. That's the Mizrahi's answer to the question. Again, the question. Why would the Torah need to go out of its way in order to praise her when we ourselves could have arrived at the same conclusion? Again, the Mizrahi answers that there is a world of difference between the praises which we arrive at as a result of our own calculation and when the Torah specifically goes out of its way to praise her. Says the Gurariya, a most fascinating answer. Veli nira delo kosha. I consider that there is no problem whatsoever, that the Mizrahi's question is not a question. Why? The Hochika Omar. Because what we are being told by Rashi in this week's Sidra is that we should not say, Shalai Taima Lav Bazda Tayasa, Tetucha Lilmaidavara, Kikatana Miyayin Hayasa. One is entitled, says the Maharal, to conclude on the basis of the information that we had in Chaye Sarah, yes? She came from a family of Rishoyim. Her father was a Rasha. Sister was a Rasha. The people of her town were Rishoyim. She is a wonderful person. But who says that the fact that she is a tzedekister, having come from such a background and such a family, is as a result of a mature response to the evil of her place? She was three. When she left the place, she was three. You'll excuse the expression. Maybe she was playing with the dolls and she didn't really know what was going on. So therefore, the fact that she is a tzedekister, and she comes to a place full of Rishoyim, she was a youngster, she was a baby. She didn't have any hasoga. What's going on? You tell a three-year-old of his daughter? With all cheshbainus. So therefore, says the Maharal, had it not been for the fact that the Torah goes out of its way to praise her, we would have said, yes, she's a tzedekister. Yes, she came from a place of Rishoyim and a family of Rishoyim. But it wasn't because she renounced them as a mature decision. It was because she was so young that she wasn't able to be influenced by them. So therefore, says the Maharal, Lokach Yoma Bishvacha, that is what the Torah wants you to know, says Rashi, that we are relating her praises, that the truth of the matter is Bas Rosha, V'afila Hochi, Lo Lom Domi Ma'aseihem, implying that even though she was three, she was still quite capable of understanding what is going on, and therefore the fact that she is a tzedekister is not because she was not capable of being influenced by Avdei Avinazora, but rather because she was capable, but as a result of her own personality, she renounced all the Avinazora of her family and of her town. Ushmamina, and it comes to teach us to hoya la das lilmod, that she had the ability to comprehend, and she did not learn from their ways. Team Lokain, because if in reality she was so young that she couldn't appreciate what was going on in her father's house, marshevachula de loilomda. What praise would there be that she didn't learn from their ways if she was a baby and hadn't got the ability to judge and to understand? So that, says the Maharal, is the reason why we have to be told that the Torah is interesting in declaring her praises, because otherwise we might not have automatically concluded from the fact that she comes from a place of Rishoyim and a family of Rishoyim and is nevertheless a tzedekister, we would never have been able to conclude that that was a conscious act of her own understanding that she rejected them and upheld more moral and ethical positions. Okay. Now the Maharal turns to other matters. V'yim tomar, now I want to go into the Rashi in a little more detail. You may ask me, after all, we want to indicate that she's such a wonderful person, she never learned from their ways. Now what do we say? She's a Bas Rasha, she's an Achais Rasha, Mekayim Anshei Resha, says the Maharal, V'yim tomar, Acha Shehakotavai Meshahayasa Bas Rasha. If the Torah has already told us she is a Bas Rasha, is Ma Hoysev Posesha Hoyesu Achaus Rasha? I mean, what is being added on by telling us not only had she got a terrible father, you should see her brother?
וכי יעיסה תלמיד מן הוח ממה שתלמיד מן הוח? Is it likely she's going to take more notice of what her brother tells her than what her father tells her? ויירה. So the answer, says the Maharal, is like this. כי הנמשך אחר המעשים שהם רואים, a person who is usually enticed away to matters which are bad, כגן עבירה זורה חייצבו, for instance, idolatrous worship, who I'll give a devorim, is usually for one of three reasons. כי יש מהם שהוא עושה מכוח יירו, there are people who do things similar to עבירה זורה out of respect, meaning respect for people. Shehu Yoremi Poloni, where a person may be in awe or respect a certain individual, Vitzorich Lasos Kamasov, and feels impelled out of respect for that individual. If that individual is an Eved Avodah Zarah, the person feels impelled out of awe and respect to copy his ways. That's one motivation. Vahasheni, another type of motivation is Shehu Osomi Yahav Osomi Chivoso. One may feel impelled to embrace Avodah Zarah because one is fond of a certain individual who is an Eved Avodah Zarah, and out of fondness for another individual, one may feel impelled to worship Avodah Zarah. Kamosha Omru, as indeed the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Be'inyan Avodah Zarah, there are those who obeyed Meyahavas Adam, or Meyiras Adam. There are those who worship Avodah Zarah out of respect for those people who worship it, or out of love for people who worship it. V'yesh mehem, and then there is a third type who would feel impelled to worship Avodah Zarah. She'enu oved lo meyahavas adam v'lo meyiras adam ela machmas minik shenu avukach. A person is impelled to worship Avodah Zarah because that's the common usage. That's what people are doing. That's the minik hamoko. Indeed, Chazal say, goyim shebechutzal ha'oretz, even those people who are goyim in chutzal ha'oretz, who worship Avodah Zarah, is lava oivdei Avodah Zarah heim, they cannot be categorized seriously as oivdei Avodah Zarah. Why? Elaminik, I will say it, b'yadeim, I mean, they grow up, that's the way they are. So we see that there is a third motivation for worship Avodah Zarah, namely, that's what you've seen around you since the day you came into the world. Vehine. Therefore, we are being told by this Rashi, or more correctly, Rashi is interpreting the pasuk to convey the following information. Rivka mipnei she'aviha haya rasha, haya lo lilmoid mikayach meira shela. You might have thought that out of respect for her father, ish imei v'yaviv tiro, she should have embraced the Avodah Zarah which her father worshipped, v'yapal b'chein lo'lamda, and nevertheless she did not. U'mipnei she'haya achi harasha, and then again her brother was wicked, v'yadua, and it's well known, ki ho'achim ohavim ze b'tachlis, that siblings love each other. There's no mitzvah to love your parents. Once asked the children, why there's no mitzvah to love your parents? And one child says, because you don't have to be commanded to do something you would already do anyway. Beautiful answer. Guaranteed to impress. And another child put up a hand and I says, yes, why is there no mitzvah to love your parents? She says, because most of them don't deserve it. Okay. So there's no mitzvah of Av by parents, there's a mitzvah of Morah, but in regards to siblings, there is a bond of love, and nevertheless, even though her brother Lavan was an Eved Avodah Zarah, the Hila Yosef Alei Choshesha El Ho'ahava, and thirdly, Umipanei Shekol Oir Hoyu Rishoyim, V'hoya Lali Yosh Nimshach Acha Minik Oir Shehoyu Kulam Rishoyim, and nevertheless, V'lai Halach O'achar Aminik, V'zeh B'vadai Ho'ra'o Al Godel Tzitkosa, who's a Chusnafsha. So she did not succumb to any of these temptations, either because of Mora, or because of Ahava, or because of Minhag, and therefore La Hagish Vacha Veloilonga Mima Asehem. So again, it's an indication to us through the Gurariye the seriousness with which every nuance in Rashi is, as it were, analyzed, taken apart, and put together again. Okay. So now that's a comment that I wanted to bring in regard to the opening section of the Parsha. Now, as we know, it was a difficult pregnancy. And she said, "Hey, Baze, if so, Lama Ze Onochi, why me?" The well-known question. Okay, Lama Ze Onochi. The question of what Lama Ze Onochi means exactly is open to interpretation. And I want to draw your attention to a most fascinating interpretation by the Belville Brisker. By Vatomerim Kein Lomozer Anochi. It's on the left-hand side. Why me? Says the Belville, Yesh Lefarish, I would like to offer an interpretation of this Lomozer Anochi Al Pi Ma De'isa Bebrochis Daf Yud. Based on a famous episode related in the Gemara Brochis Daf Yud. There, Yeshaya goes to visit Chizkiah HaMelech, and Yeshaya HaNovi says to Chizkiah, you are going to die, Hilchomesh Velechich, yeah, you will die and you won't live. Chazal say you'll die, Yoylem HaZeh, you won't live, Yoylem HaBoh. So why? Vipenation or your sacked of a period of Yerivya. Because you have no children. You haven't visited yourself in the period of Yerivya. And Chizkiah defended his position, and he says, the Gemara says, "Demishum de Chaza Baruach Hakodesh, de Nach Geiminei Benin de Lo Malu." Chizkiah defended his position and says, "The reason why I am not busying myself in Pirya Verivya is because I saw Baruach Hakodesh that I am going to have children who are not going to be good people." So Yeshaya Omalo. So Yeshaya answered to him, "Behade Kavshe de Rachmano Lomaloch. What's your business mixing in heavenly matters?" HaKadosh Baruch Hu's secrets is his business. Maidem ifkadeta, ibayaloch lemevat. Your mitzvah you gotta do. Leave the cheshbonis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ba'ad ha-kabshid ha-rachman ha-lava loch. Don't mix in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's business. You got a mitzvah to do, peru revu, that's your business. Hare, we see from this Gemara, says Rav Belville quite clearly, de yafal gav de yotzu mechizki yagam tzadikim kamo yoshiyohu tzidkiyohu v'zirubovel v'yoyit, even though many tzadikim were destined to be born from Chizkiyahu, whom he also saw Baruch HaKodesh, mikol mokum, and nevertheless, kivan dechoza Baruch HaKodesh sheyetu mimenu gam reshoyim kamim menashe amon, since he saw that he was going to father reshoyim as well, lo rotzol la'asok v'pidi v'rivya, he didn't want to busy himself in pidi v'rivya. V'rak Yeshayo amalo, but Yeshaya said to him, "Demaydim ifkadadoch imoy loch lemevad." Why? De lo nitna horeshus lahi botil mi mitzvah sasei b'shvilei zatam sheyiyah. You're not allowed to make cheshbonis in order to cancel out and to abandon a mitzvah of the Torah. Avol b'lav hachtama. Apparently, if we hadn't got that reasoning, namely, you've got a mitzvah, so don't meddle around in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's business, it would appear that if that was not the case, that he has a mitzvah of Piri Verivya, it would appear if Yeshaya didn't have that retort, Sadaku Divrei Chizkiah. It would appear as if Tzidki would have been right. The mutav shaloi lasok bepili v'rivya, mishayetsu b'ni d'lo ma'alu. If indeed there was no mitzvah of pili v'rivya, Chizkiyahu would have been right in saying, better to have no children than to have children, some tzaddikim and some rishayim. Because the reply that Yeshaya gave to him was, it could very well be that you're going to have we would call an admixture. But on the other hand, you've got your mitzvah, and when you've got a mitzvah, you're not allowed to make cheshbonis. Ulefiz there, says the Reb Belville, Beisha, in regards to a woman, She'ena musheres al piri rivya, who doesn't have the mitzvah piri rivya, because the mitzvah is only on the man, not on the woman. Hadinim chizkiah. It would appear from the woman's point of view, if that were the case, she would be allowed to go along with the reasoning of chizkiah. The ain shaveh la'asok v'piri v'rivya, that it is not worthwhile to busy oneself in piri v'rivya, kol sheyodas v'ruach ha-kodesh, denach gemine b'nei d'loi ma'ale, afim teled gam tzadikim kamei b'chizkiyah. So therefore, it would appear from the point of view of the woman, if she were to know that she is going to give birth both to tzadikim and rishoyim, that she would be entitled to say, I don't want the honey, I don't want the sting. And we know the famous medrash brought by Rashi, the Horetzitza Hayasa, that why was there a movement in her womb while she was pregnant? That when she was passing by a place of Avodah Zarah, Esav wanted to get out. So she knew that there was one child in her womb that was not going to bring great nachas. Bezehu Shiyomra. That's why she said, Imke Lama Ze Anochi. Yitzchak. There's no problem, because Yitzchak is the reply of Yeshaya Hanavi. He's got the mitzvah. Aber Lama Ze Anochi. I don't have the mitzvah. If that is the case, then I'm going to give birth to a tzaddik and a rasha. Lama Ze Anochi. I didn't need the whole business to begin with, which is Chizkiyah's taina. Now, that's Rebbelva. Okay. And that's where he stopped. The question is, what's the reply? I've got to find out. I mean to say, she says, and interestingly enough, I'm not going to go into it now, maybe we'll have an opportunity with Hashem in future. There is a fascinating essay by Rabbi Yeruchim Levovitz that sell from Mir, the Mir Mashkiach. He says, well, everybody laughing, what are you talking about? You're going past that place of Avodah Zarah, and all of a sudden Esav wants to get out? You honestly mean to tell me that's what was going on? Past Avodah Zarah, well, what can he see? What can he hear? Did he like the chorus? What's it all about? Says Rabbi Yeruchim's up there, it's because you don't understand the Koyach of Kedusha and Tuma. He says, do you know, he says, there are captains on ships who know where they're going because they've got a little compass. And no matter where you turn it, the magnet faces north. You have to know, he says, so it is with Kedusha and with Tumah. He says, everybody got a compass and we face the way we are in essence. That's our magnet. And goes on to say, when you're going around somewhere, he says, and you happen to chance on something and to see something, you think it's a conscious decision of yours to face that way? He says, it's your compass at work. The things that you see, the things that all of a sudden you find yourself watching, is not because you elected to. He says, it's your spiritual magnet that is seeking out the things that you are in essence. That's a horrifying thought, I have to tell you. Things that we'll find ourselves in future weeks looking at, and we'll say to me, oy vey, I thought it would just happen by chance. But it's not that, that's not the way it is at all. It defines who I am. It's quite fascinating. But anyway, the Shaila now is, so what was the reply? Let's have a look. Shnei goyim bivitneich. Two nations are in your womb. Says Rashi, geyim kisiv. Two haughty people, two proud people. Elu Antoninus verebi. Rebbe is descended from Yaakov. Antoninus, who is the consul, is descended from Esau. So therefore it would appear, we're trying to learn Pshat in Rebbe Velvel, that what reply is being given to Rivka? The following. Part one of the reply is that they're not all going to be Rishoyim who come out of Esau. Horiah, Antoninus, Unculus Hagar, Ovadia Hagar. The Gemara says in Gittin, B'nei Bonov Shal Haman, Lomdu Torah B'nei Brak. Worthy of comment in its own, but not now. B'nei Bonov Shal Haman, Lomdu Torah B'nei Brak. So we see that even from Esav, there were many, many notable tzaddikim who became great scholars. That's part one of the reply. And then, Ula'om Mila'om Ye'emotz. What does Rashi say in Mila'om Mila'om Ye'emotz? Lo Yishvu Bigadulah. They will never be, as it were, equally successful. When one is in the ascendancy, the other will be in the descent. What that means is as follows. We may suggest that Esav also has a most important function to fulfill vis-a-vis Yaakov, and that is, when Yaakov is failing in his commitment to Torah and mitzvot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes Esav to be in the ascendancy, and as a result of our suffering at the hands of Esav, we are impelled to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Gemara says in Megillah, the removal of the ring to give to Haman did more for Judaism than the 48 famous prophets. Because the 48 famous prophets are saying to the Bnei Israel, Shuvu El Hashem, Kechuyim Ochim Devorim, whatever else the appropriate prophetic phase is, come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And people pass by and they got no interest. But all of a sudden, the Bnei Israel hear that Haman has made a decree that they're all going to be wiped out to a man. So the synagogues become full again. So Therefore, that's the second theme in Aesop. Number one, that not all his descendants are going to be Lashoim, and even the ones who will be Lashoim and who will be our enemies, they fulfill a task to the extent that they become an instrument of the divine in order to keep Bnei Yisrael on the straight and narrow. Let's move on now to the next fascinating comment that I came upon, and that is in Perek Kaf Vav Pasuk Aleph. Vayehi Ro'avores. There was a famine in Eretz Yisrael, Milavad Horov Horishon, besides the first famine, Asher Hayav Bimei Avraham, which occurred in the time of Avraham Avinu. And a question which I never thought to raise, but a most fascinating comment by the Malbim. And he asks as follows. When there was a famine in the land of Eretz Yisrael at the time of Avraham Avinu, Avraham Avinu left. In the time of Yitzchak, when there was a famine, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle. That whilst there was a famine everywhere else in the land, wherever Yitzchak sowed was exceptionally successful. The phrase is Me'ach Shiorim. So the question is, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu do for Avraham Avinu what he did for Yitzchak? Says the Malbim is false. Vayehi ra'ov v'oret milavad hara'ov horishon. Hirech, Ma'ashi Avram hutzrach lotzeis l'mitzrayim ipnei ho'ra'ov, v'lo hifli Hashem chasto. The fact that Avram Avinu had to go to Mitzrayim during the time of famine, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not perform a miracle for him, k'mosha osra li'Yitzchok, as he did for Yitzchok, yesh bozeh kamot ha'amim, there are a number of reasons that I respectfully suggest that they are quite insightful. Number one, again the question, why did Hashem not perform a miracle for Avraham Avinu and make whatever he was in the midst of famine bountiful, plentiful, as he did for Yitzchak? Says the Malbim. Number one, Shezeh hayomin hanisyonos shenisnaso Avraham Avinu kamo she'omru chazal. The reason why Avraham Avinu was not given that miracle is because in reality the famine came to Avraham Avinu at that time as one of the asonos nisyonos. He was being tested. And now we go to a more major question. Avraham Avinu is the only one of the Yovos who was tested with Nisyonos. Not Yitzchak. Not Yaakov. So we have to ask ourselves, why did Avraham Avinu have to go through the Nisyonos and not any of the others? A fascinating answer. Ya anshi Avraham hikires bora'o al yedei hispal sefus v'hachakiro. Since Avraham Avinu came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to all his understanding through logic, through philosophizing, through analysis, is Hashem rotzo sheyamin vo emuna shelema, and Hashem wanted Avraham Avinu to come to a higher madrega of emuna, habilti nisleis b'mechkar, which is not based on logic, on reasoning. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Avraham Avinu to arrive at a Madrega where he unquestionably follows the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not because he had worked out that that's what one should be doing, but only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it. Therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to put him through the 10 trials in order to, as it were, to test him. Im yaharher achar midosav, if he would question HaKadosh Baruch Hu's conduct with him, the yiridaso lemitzrayim hoya echid min hanisyonos. Now that's a fascinating insight, my friend. Why Avraham Avinu was the only one of the Yovos who was tested with asonos nisyonos? Says the Malbim, because Avraham Avinu was the only one who came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the Yovos through a process of rationalization. And wherever there is rationalization, at the end of the day, whatever I believe in is as a result of my own powers. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants something more from Avraham Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants unquestioning obedience. And that is something which will take Avraham Avinu up to a different madrego altogether. And that is the purpose of the Nisyonos. Avol Yitzchok, but in regards to Yitzchok, Shekvar Hoyesa Emunoso Chazoko Al Yedei HaKabola Shekibel Mi Aviv, V'lo Hutzlok L'Nisyonos Eilu. But Yitzchak is not in the position of Avraham Avinu, because Yitzchak is born into a home where there is already a tradition of Yiddishkeit. So his adherence to whatever it is that they are observing at that time is not as a result of Chakira, because what was Chakira for the father is now tradition in the home. So therefore, since the famine which came in the time of Avraham had as its purpose to test Avraham, and the purpose of the famine during the time of Yitzchak was to show the world how HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs chesed with Yitzchak of a most extraordinary variety, i.e. the rest of the land is barren, there is no rain, there is no water, and lo and behold, Vayimtzu Bashono Hahi Me'ah. So therefore the purposes of the famine are different. And since the purposes of the famine are different, it was imperative for Avraham Avinu to go to Mitzrayim and not to question, how come I've only arrived in the land which HaKadosh Baruch Hu bid me to go? That's why it says, Milavad Hora'ov Horishon, apart from the first famine. In other words, the second famine B'mei Yitzchak has got different parameters, different themes altogether than the famine which occurred in the time of Avraham Avinu. That's the first answer. Second answer is fascinating. Zos Shenis, a second difference between why Avraham had to leave and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Yitzchak is as follows. To Avraham the Eis Sheyorad leMitzrayim leHoya Muchon Adayin leNisim Geluyim Sheyimtza Bracha B'Sedosa veEis Ra'ah. Can you believe that? Says the Malbim, the reason why no miracle was performed for Avraham Avinu when there was a famine in that time, as is recorded at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, is because Avraham Avinu at that moment in time was not spiritually on a madrega to be deserving of an open miracle of that type. Why was he not deserving? The reason why he was not deserving was both on his own part and also because of the land. Now, what do we mean by this? It'll echo themes which we looked at in Parshas Vayera in the Nachlas Dovid. Imitzido, we are suggesting that Avraham Avinu was not deserving of the miracle as it happened to Yitzchak. Why? Because at this particular moment, referring to what he said above, he has not gone through the Nisyonos, below Higia Adayin Lemadregoze, Sheyeosa Lo Nisim Geluyim, for Hashkocha Olof Hoyasamu, Tefesos Venisim Nisros. This story. The Alkane Hutzach Lotek Lemisai. Kilo Higia Lemadregozu, Adaharshe Korasimo Habris, Venishvalu, Venishmina Beson of Yeshamila. The reason why Avraham Avinu was not deserving of a miracle is both from his own part, namely, he has as yet not reached the Madrego where he is worthy of Nisim Geluyim, and that only comes at the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after a number of Nisyonos, makes a covenant with him, Bris Min Abisorim, and elevates him to a new Madrego with Bris Mila, his Halech Leponai, Veheyei Samim. And up to that particular moment in time, Avraham Avinu, whom we look at as the founding father, nevertheless has as yet not reached the Madrega to be worthy of Nisim Geluyim. And in the midst of a famine, to have a bountiful harvest, that's not an Eis Nistar. That's an Eis Nigla. And to be worthy of an Eis Nigla, one has to be on a Madrega. And since the Nisyonos were, in order to elevate Avraham Avinu, it stands to reason that at the beginning of his spiritual odyssey, he is as yet found unworthy for Nisim Geluyim, and therefore in a time of famine, he has no option other than to leave the country and go elsewhere where there is. That's one aspect of why there was no bountiful harvest provided for Avraham Avinu. But furthermore, he says, and here we echo the Nachlas of it, the Imitzad Horetz, and also another reason why he was not able to enjoy a bountiful harvest in a time of famine at that time in Parshas Lech Lecha. You know why? Because when Avraham Avinu left because of famine to go down to Egypt, as is recorded at the beginning of Lech Lecha, Adayin lo nitna ha'oretz elo. The land had as yet not been given to him. Only Hashem promised him that he would give it to his children. But below,
Abraham Avinu had as yet not been given the land. The promise had been made. And since the land had as yet not been given to him, therefore the Kedusha, the special sanctity of Eretz Yisrael, which puts it under the exclusive dominion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the exclusion of all natural phenomena, that had as yet not occurred. And to put it in a few words, and then we look inside. If at that particular moment in time, the land is not under the exclusive dominion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but is governed purely by natural law, so the natural law says that if there's a harvest beside your neighbor, if there's a famine in the next field, the famine affects the field which is next door, because that's the way it works. It doesn't change from 2 minutes to 2 minutes. But if the land is under the hashkoch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means that the laws of nature are suspended and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes, as it were, an intimate involvement in the land, it would stand to reason that a tzaddik could be having a bountiful harvest in area A and next door in area B there can be famine. So therefore he says like this, Rak acharei shuvo mi-Mitzrayim. It was only when he came back from Mitzrayim, the Nifrad Lot Meito, and the Lot was separated from him. Then Omar Le Hashem Kum Hisalech Boris Liorkul Rochbo, which was the moment when he acquired Eretz Yisrael Bechazocha, as the Gemara says in Baba Basra. So therefore, prior to that, natural law reigned. The Hevdel Godol, and you should know that there is a great difference between Eretz Yisrael Hamisnaheges Bahashkocha Protis, between the land of Israel, when it is governed exclusively by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha, which means all laws are suspended, and whatever happens is as a result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intimate involvement in every aspect of the country. Sha'oz hora'ov hu hashkochi, because then any famine is, as it were, divinely manipulated. V'lo yichlou l'satzadikim. And therefore it should come as no surprise that a famine of that order would not include the tzaddikim. Sha'aleihem tofiyah ha-hashkocha, losseis lehem terev chukam. Because on the tzaddikim, the hashkocha is obviously to give them everything they need. So here you have a rov in area A and a sov in area B. Aval ha-rov sheyihye bechutz la'oretz. But a famine which occurs lamazogon in chutzlores, o kodem shiniskadosh Eretz Yisrael, the hashkochas Hashem, or in Eretz Yisrael prior to the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashkocha became exclusively involved in it, which only started at the time when the Kedushas HaOretz was invoked, which began at the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu in the middle of Parshas Lech Lecha, not at the beginning, Kum Yisalech Ba'Oretz, who kodel gamas atzadik. That type of famine is a natural phenomenon, and therefore ein amavchin ben tzadik l'rosha. The Alkain, therefore, Avram hutzrich latzeis l'Mitzrayim. Avram had to go out to Mitzrayim. Ki hoya hora'ov kefi darkei ha-teva. Because in his time, in the beginning of Lech Lecha, the famine was a natural phenomenon. Lo chein b'mei Yitzchak. Which is not true in the case of Yitzchak. Shehoyeto ha-hashkocha miyuchedes al Yitzchak mi'al ha-oret. Since the hashkocha was on Yitzchak, because he deserved Nisim Geluyim, and it was possible to have a famine of such an order, because this was already post introduction of Kedushat Ha'oret, is Memele Nisporech Yitzchok Ve'eis Horov. And all these sentiments that I have described to you, says the Malvim, they are all included in the words Milavad Horov Horishon. This is a famine unlike the Ra'ov Horishon. The Ra'ov Horishon is Tivi, this Ra'ov is Hashkochi. Now, what I would like to look at now is, with a number of items, Mitzvah Hashem, still to engage our attention, I want to draw your attention to a most wonderful essay by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Emes Liyankov. As you know, one of the most enigmatic stories, episodes, in the entire Sefer Bereishis is the episode of the wells of water. You dig them, the Philistines stuff them up again, they try it again, mitzachamol, mitzachamol, and then various interpretations of what it's all about. In the past, we brought the Ksava Kabbalah, which was a masterful interpretation. Rabbi Nebuchai says, from the episode of the Be'eros, we learn that a person should never change from the customs of his parents. Lamasha, because it says, by Yikrolahen Shemos, Kashemos, Ashekrolahen Avihem. So he called the wells by exactly the same name as Avram Avi. You know, when the Mogan Avram brings the Rabbi Nebuchai. And it's a sentiment which has been invoked, interestingly enough, in regards to children who want to change the Havara, from Havara Ashkenazi to Havara Sephardit. And there are some who maintain that the Rabbeinu Bechai is counseling against changing from customs which we have adopted. Of course, the most famous of all is the Ramban. Says the Emes LeYankim, Ayin v'Ramban shekosav v'zeh lashono. Have a look at the Ramban, says the Emes LeYankim. And the Ramban says like this, Yisapir hakosuv, the Torah relates v'yarich, and deals at length v'inyan habeiros in regards to the wells of water. I have to be frank with you, Dr. Ramban, v'yein b'pshutei asipur tu'eves. I mean, I've got to tell you, when you look at a simple story, it doesn't seem to be something which yields a great deal of profit. The no covered godly Yitzchak, and neither does it seem to reflect very nobly on Yitzchak. I mean, they give him a hard time. Not like in the seal of Kimatov, it's okay, etc., etc. I mean, they're really making it time difficult. Says the Ramban, Avol yesh badovor inyan nister besoichet. But there is, in reality, in this episode of the Be'eros, a hidden theme. Kivola hodia devaro seed. It comes to relate to us matters of the future. Be'er mayim chayim, because the phrase be'er mayim chayim, a well of living water, yirmos is an allusion to the Beis Elokim, to the temple, to the Beis HaMikdash, asher yasu banov shel Yitzchak, which Yitzchak's descendants are going to build. The Korah Horishon, and the first Beis HaMikdash, meaning the first well, is called Asek. That's a remez to the Bayis Rishon, to the first temple, asher yishasku imanu, where they strove with us, the Yosu Osono Kama Machlokos, the Kama Milchomos, Achihichrivu, until they eventually destroy it. That's the Asek Be'er. Vahasheni, and the second well is called Sitna, which is a more difficult name than the first. Vachol Yomov, and all the days of the Beis HaMikdash, that's what it's alluding to. Hayunanu Lesitna. They made us Saurus, there was hatred. Achihichrivu, Vegolu Mimeno, Golos Ra'ah. And we had such a terrible time until we were sent into Golos a second time, and this has been our terrible Golos. Hashalishi, and the third well, Koro Rechovos. It's called Rechovos. Hu habayis ha'osid sheyiboneh or sheyivneh b'mehela v'yomenu v'hiye yoseh below rivu mitzah. And this is a Beis HaMikdash which will be built without contention and without strife. And at that time, v'hokel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu yarchiv, right, Rechovos, Yarchiv eskevuleinu, he will extend our borders. Don't get too many people here. This will extend our borders. Aval adayin yesh levayir. All right, fine. That's the Ramban. Says Rabbi Yankov, aval adayin yesh levayir. But I still want a little bit of insight. Ma melamdeinu hamikra sheherich bozeh. All right, fine. But it's not just naming the wells. It's a whole parsha. 20-something verses. It appears to me, the motto hatura ilisachurba. We are being told not only what was going to happen to the Bayis Rishon, to the Bayis Sheni, Bayis Shlishi, says to the Yankee, but I believe if you look into the Parsha and you follow the guidelines of the Ramban, you will discover not only about the world temples 1, 2, and 3, but you will also discover what went wrong. And why they came to be destroyed, and why Bayis Shlishi will not be destroyed. Let me explain. Says Rabbi Yankov, Hine beyichud, the truth of the matter is, if you look at the whole episode of the wells, from a general point of view, Sipra lono ha-Torah, the Torah is telling us, Eich she-Yitzchok avinu kvar stoval ol ha-Golos. That's the first thing you realize. Elektrish ten honik. He's not enjoying his stay in Eretz Yisroel. And therefore you already acknowledge that from the time of Yitzchok, we are seeing the fulfillment of Kiger Yihyeh Zaracho B'Eretz Lo Lohem. Whereas his father Avraham Avinu, they said to him, Nesi Elohim Atah B'Sochenu, we are honored to have you in our midst. The people said to Yitzchak, we cannot wait to see the back of you. The episode of the Be'eros in a general aspect is related in the Torah so that we shouldn't ask ourselves, Hashem, It's so that we shouldn't ask that question. We shouldn't ask, no, where is the fulfillment by Yitzchak? Because it says, Kigeye Zaracho, already from the time of your children. Not grandchildren, children, there will be the fulfillment of Kigeye Zaracho. Where do we see it? After you see it here. Why? That's why the Torah tells us, Ki Afsha Avram Hayakovid Miyod Bemikne. Even though Abraham Avinu was laden with all sorts of material possessions, with all that, we don't find anywhere that the Goyim were envious of him. The Yadarab, on the contrary, they said, they were already jealous of him. The Omrulo, and they said to him, Leich me'imanu, ki otzamta mimenu miyod. Go away from us. Either because you have become more wealthy than we have, or ki otzamta mimenu, or the wealth that you have made is on our cheshbon. The 2,000 guests is tafun zere cheshbon. For Hainu calls a man shenachush ahayim emekomo, and therefore, we see that as long as he had ordinary fields with harvest, no, Rakvitzvua, Lokonuvo, they weren't jealous. Avol Mikiva, Shahoyalo, Miknet, Son of Akor, but when he had movables, Oz Hischilo Mekanimbo, and that's when they started to be envious of him, and Chazal say, Yoe Aniyusali Yisoel. Poverty becomes the Jew, like a red rose becomes a white stallion. Rektagon, Hagamona Chagiga. Rektagon, I was a mitzvah to be poor. So he says, Chazal didn't say it's a mitzvah to be poor. Chazal said, Yo, and you silly soil, poverty becomes a Jew like a red rose to a white stallion. When do you put a red rose on a white stallion? When you lead him through the public thoroughfare. Public profile in wealth has got to be subdued, as a state in the gone. Vahamevin Yovin. Again, I repeat, for Hamiv and Yov. Public profile. I'm not going to back over to the Marim Akomish because, to use the phrase that's already on tape, but you have a Kliyokor, and you have a Mizrahi, and you have a Rebellios Elio Gutmacher. The first mission in Shabbos speaks about transferring from the private to the public domain and gives us the classic example of transferring from Rishus HaYochid to the Rishus HaRabim, and the phrase used in the first mission in Shabbos is Ani Bachutz, who Balabayas Bifnim. So everybody asked the Kasha, and what would happen if there was a Balabayas standing outside? There's no din of Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim. So Dr. Emil, Yo, Gutmacher, Ani Bachutz, outside, profile gotta be low. Bifnim, your own house, you worked hard, Balabayas. Over Bachutz, Ani. We go further. Yachakein, after that, says the Reb Yankov, so in other words, the first part of the story is to assure you that already in the lifetime of Yitzchak we see fulfilled Kigei Yehiyeh Zaracho. Next, V'yachakein chofar be'er. Then he dug a well. V'yimsu mayim chayim. No, they found a well of water. And that's for sure a matnas Elokim. And it was by the sweat of their own brow. Who v'chol zos omru, and nevertheless the Philistine said, lanu amayim. You guess who the water belongs to? That belongs to us. V'yachakein, and after that, kishachofar be'er acheres. When he dug another well, the Gamolehoravu, and they argued with that one as well, Koroshima Sitna. He called the well Sitna, hatred. Why did he call the first one Asik, strife, and this he called hatred, Dr. Porchet? Yipanesha mitachilo, Dimor, Shane, Zebishvil, Sino, Elim, Yipanesha, Chosel, Hemayim. He thought the row over the first well was because they ain't got no water. He said, they haven't got any water, and I got water, they want water, it's mine, what can they do? Avon Mikivan, Shikavar, Yeshlehem, Behemayim. But now they have the first well. And Yitzchak dug a second one. So what do you happen the second one before you got water? Must be not because you need the water, but you don't want him to have it. That's hatred. We have to be saying, Haim Robim Gamaleo. Haim Ze Elekit Esherotim Shalom Yehi Yalom. It's Hamir the Gavodah. Not because they want the water. First when you can tie them, we need the water too. We'll divert whatever it is, we need it. Oh, but you have it. So what are you chepping with mine? No, it's not that you want it. You don't want me to have it. Yours Havin, then he understood. And he understood, whenever I'm in their vicinity, it's no good, I'll never have any hatzlocha. The heretic Moshavo Misham, therefore he moved away from them, by and there was no argument. is the Hatura Gilis or Hata. So why had he got no nachas in Be'er number one and Be'er number two? The Torah told us. Shebepam or Rishon Osa Be'er Somoch Liplishtim. Because he was too much associated with the Philistines. That's why the first well didn't work out for him. The Chain Bepam Ashni Elo Hisrachek. And with the second well, he also didn't get sufficiently away from them. And as long as he was closely associated or loosely associated with them geographically, he had no Haslacha. Verak Bepam Hashalishis Hisrachek Hu Vyoz Ponoso Elova Haslacha. But with Be'er number three, he disassociated himself completely, entirely, and that's when his Hatzlocha began. Now what is the Ramban going to suggest that is being alluded to by this thing? Says Rabbi Yanke, Re'im ne'ayein heite, if we look carefully near there, we will see Shekein hoyo gam etzel botei hamikdosh, that this is a theme which is repeated in the botei mikdosh, which according to the Ramban are indeed alluded to by the well. Number one, again, an association with alien peoples brings about the failure of Be'er number one and the failure of Be'er number two. Now, what's the theme? Portion. Because in the first base of English, King Solomon was most friendly with all the nations of the world. He turned to Hiram, king of Tyre, and Hiram sent Goyim to work on the base of Migdash. And when we look further, we will see that King Solomon's friendship and alliances with nations of the world were the cause of the destruction of the first temple. Why? Because since King Solomon's shita was to bring all peoples near, he didn't make any objection when his wives started to build high places to the idol Chamur. Very cosmopolitan. Bechein bono bayis lebas paro. And he built a house for his wife, the daughter of Pharaoh, Uchayodua, and as is well known, what went on in that house, Shealzeh bo'o tochachto shel Yerobam. It was Jeroboam who later on himself was no tzatzki in regards to Avodah Zarah, but it was Jeroboam who came and remonstrated with King Solomon and said, there are things going on, as Winston used to say, up with which we cannot put. Right? Is Minishalik Mamlechas Yisroel, as a result of this, it was the beginning of the end, and the kingdom of Israel was divided into Shtei Mamlechas, V'zeh Golem Achum V'Agol. An association with alien forces, the exact correspondence with digging the well in the vicinity and proximity of the Philistines. The gam b'bayisheni, the chay b'bayisheni. All right. Hein emesh ha'abolim hoyu yisroel. This is true in the case of the second temple. Those who built it were yidden. Avol tachas chasusam shel malchei poras u'modai. But they built it under the aegis, under the umbrella, under the protection, etc., etc., under the supervision of Poras Umodai. So there is a loose alliance and association again of alien forces involved. Lukashin is started, and if you look into that phenomenon, the fact that it was Poras Umodai were who were in control, as it were, in those early stages when the Bayasheni was built, you'll see that that in its own way was a cause of the destruction of the second temple. Kihodos lozeh, because as a result of the fact that we were under foreign dominion during those centuries, Amdu Hamisyavim B'Tzoich B'nei Yisrael, the Hellenists arose amongst our people. V'yachar Nitzchonam Shel HaChashmonayim Shelo Yochlu L'Horim Rosh, and even when the Hashmonayim defeated the Hellenists, because as we have mentioned on countless occasions, a memorable Devar Torah from Rabbi Yosef Soloveitchik Zatzal, that the fight was not against the Greeks, the fight was against the Jews, the Hellenists. Nowhere does it say Yidden Biad Goyim, because the war was not between Yidden and Goyim. And even after they were defeated, the Hellenists, Shelo yachlo horim roshim, when olam are able to raise their heads, pashtu tzurosam zos, as it were, they remove the mask of Hellenism, velavashu tzuro shel tzedukim, and they put on a new cloak, the cloak of Sadducee, which was political, religious, subversive. Ad shenimsiro hamalchus li'avdei beis chashmonoi, until the disturbance and the fight between Sadducim and Purushim was so intensive, all vying for political power, until eventually Avdei Chashmonoi, Herod, etc., etc., who were Avodim, came into power. V'zeh Goram Hachur. Again, association with Goyim in some way, a little more loose compared to number one, but there nevertheless, that was the cause of the Churban Bayis Sheni. Aval habayis ha-shelishi, but the third Beis HaMikdash, yiboneh al-yedei Hashem yisporach v'atmo, v'yoz yarchiv Hashem lanu, and then HaKadosh Baruch will expand our borders. Because when the third Beis HaMikdash will be built, it will be built without any association whatsoever of anyone who is not exclusively a member of our people. It will come down, built by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and whatever finishing touches need to be done, v'hareinu b'vinyono, v'samachinu b'sikuno, all will be done by Yisrael. Says Rav Yankel, v'hulai merumiz gamzeh b'parsha shelefoneinu, and it could very well be that even this theme that I am suggesting to you is actually contained textually. Why? Shebishnei pomim hori shonim, because in regards to the first two wells, it says chofru avdei. Yitzchak, right? Who are, when all is said and done, not what they used to call Yehudi Tahor. Upam shelishi kesiv, but in the case of the third well, kesiv, vayachpor, and he dug. That's Yitzchak b'yatzmo, kaloma tachasidoro. He was in charge, nobody else. In other words, it was under exclusive Jewish auspices. Who her Elohim hamokim v'hatanoim v'chol hapratim? He was the one who showed them how to dig and where to dig. Because, and because of that, lo sholto bo yedehem, their hands never stretched out over it, because in that building, in that digging, only Yitzchak is associated with it, and therefore there is no alien influence. And the problem, of course, with the first two Be'elos is that there are influences which are outside of our people. And some of you may remember that this particular theme of the success of an enterprise being dependent on the people who are involved, not on the quantity of materials or wealth associated with it, that was already something which we looked at many moons ago in the commentary of the Sephorna to Parshas Pekudei, where he asks, why is it that the Mishkan, all the parts of the Mishkan, even though it lasted for hundreds of years, but it is somewhere, never destroyed? Because it's got nothing at all to do with the wealth, it's got to do with the people who were involved in its construction. etc. And lists the number of people. And because of the quality of the individuals involved, that ensures the success of a Jewish enterprise. Not the amount of materials or silver and gold that is expended. Many people think if you build it higher and you build it stronger, it'll last longer. Not true. When it comes to Jewish enterprise, you have to realize that the quality of the building and the extent to which it is going to endure is dependent on the quality of people who are involved. So something fascinating. Look back over history and see those institutions which were built, to quote the biblical phrase, on a shoestring. But they are there and they are still there today. And we see that it has very little at all to do with physical premises. It's got very little to do with the amount of money that was involved either in the first building or in the second or in the third building. Because we have to remember that the success of a Beis HaMikdash and the success of a Mokum Torah is independent. I mean, people have gone back and have told me they've seen the famous Velojin. I mean, obviously, we got some sort of tinted spectacles when we think about it. You go back to Velojin and Nechtika Tog. If somebody wouldn't tell you that that's the great yeshiva of Velojin, it looks like I don't know. The dilapidated. It was always dilapidated. Not a dilapidated because 100 years old. But it was a powerhouse. And when the Nesiv closed it down, it was only because there were little Velojins taken over. And when we look at the yeshivas that have sprouted up, we ask ourselves what has happened to all these places. They were founded on nothing. When people look at the budget, and then they look at other enterprises where millions were expended, and it's a joke. They are the Jewish equivalent of the white elephant. Because, says Rabbi Yankov, it has to do with the quality of people, and when it comes to a temple or a Mokum Torah, it has to do with how much Goyishkeit and how much Yiddishkeit is involved. Because that's an admixture that doesn't go too well. Some people think it does. Some people think the more Hiram King of Tyres you have, and the more Philistines involved in your enterprise, the more it's guaranteed success. Parshas Toledot teaches us otherwise. We'll leave it over here.